Chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. Thus the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Now let the sons of Israel observe the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall observe it at its appointed time. You shall observe it according to all its statutes and according to all its ordinances. So Moses told the sons of Israel to observe the Passover, and they observed the Passover in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the sons of Israel did. But there were some men who were unclean because of the dead person, so that they could not observe Passover on that day. So they came before Moses and Aaron on that day. And those men said to him, Though we are unclean because of the dead person, why are we restrained from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the sons of Israel? Moses therefore said to them, Wait, and I will listen to what the Lord will command concerning you. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, If any of you or of your generations becomes unclean because of a dead person, or is on a distant journey, he may, however, observe the Passover to the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break a bone of it. According to all the statutes of the Passover, they shall observe it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey, and yet neglects to observe the Passover, that person shall then be cut off from his people, for he did not present the offering of the Lord at its appointed time. That man should bear his sin. And if an alien sojourns among you and observes the Passover to the Lord, according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinance, so he shall do. You shall have one statute, both for the alien and for the native of the land. Now, on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. So it was continuously the cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent afterward, the sons of Israel would then set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the sons of Israel would camp. At the command of the Lord, the sons of Israel would set out, and at the command of the Lord they would camp. As long as the cloud settled over the tabernacle, they remained camped. Even when the cloud lingered over the tabernacle for many days, the sons of Israel would keep the Lord's charge and not set out. If sometimes the cloud remained a few days over the tabernacle, according to the command of the Lord, they remained camped. Then according to the command of the Lord, they set out. If sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning, when the cloud was lifted in the morning, they would move out, or for remain in the daytime and at night. Whenever the cloud was lifted, they would set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud lingered over the tabernacle, staying above it, the sons of Israel remained camped and did not set out. But when it was lifted, they did set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped, and at the command of the Lord, they set out. They kept the Lord's charge according to the command of the Lord through Moses. Amen. So this is the first time, again, remember, as you're reading this, the order is, we're not dealing with a chronological order that's happening here. This Passover probably happened before the numbering and before the census, probably when the tabernacle was finished. And so just give an idea. And so Moses, now it's a year, exactly a year since they had left Egypt. And so they come to this place, and the Lord says it's time to keep the Passover. You have to recognize that before this happened, that the Israelites were under actually no obligation whatsoever to keep the Passover. They consider that to be a one-time, or it seemingly could have been just a one-time event, but obviously God wanted this ordinance to be continued, to be a perpetual, I don't want to use the word ritual, but perpetual ceremony that the Israelites would do. And so they come to this place, and so, okay, so now is the time. So they start the Passover rites. Remember, the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread, which is the haste. There's also some parts of the first Passover that are not here. You remember going all the way back, they had to gird their loins, which meant the quickness by which they went. They didn't have to do that anymore. And so there were some things that were just for the first Passover, and some things that were going to be passed over generation to generation. And so again, this year, actually, again, we're going to go through Passover during Easter, Good Friday, and this time you're actually going to have it fully in your house church. We've been talking about this for the last 2 years now, and so I think your house church should be ready by now. And so if you're a house church leader, you're not ready, get ready, okay? Because that's what's going to happen this year. And so primarily because that's actually more of the original way. It was meant to be done in a family setting. And so we want to kind of honor that tradition. And so they lay this out, and then some men comes to them because the proper punishment or the proper way of cleansing, ritual cleansing, is if you touch a dead person, you are left out of the camp for at least 7 days. But during that time when these guys are left out of camp, guess what? Passover happens. So they come before Moses and say, hey, what about us? You know, we're Israelites. You know, we're circumcised. We should be able to do this. And I want you to know this is actually a very specific case in the sense that most scholars believe that these men, they were in charge of carrying out the bodies of Abihu and Nadab, the two sons of Aaron. And so it was a very specific case. And so it's not like they're coming and, you know, saying, hey, we want to be a part. They're like, well, you know, you asked us to do this thing, and now we obeyed you, and because we obeyed you, we can't even take part. And so you kind of understand, it's like as if I asked you to do something, you know, as a leader, a pastor, and you obeyed. I mean, you just purely did out of obedience, but that obedience cost you the ability to offer a sacrifice to God in that regard. And so Moses says, okay, basically, good point. Let me go talk to God, and I'll square it with the Lord, and hear what he has to say. And so the Lord comes back, and he says, all right, here's the solution. If people are in this situation, then let them offer the Passover 1 month later. And so wait a whole another month. So the second month, on the 14th day, then you do this. Or anyone that's sojourning, anyone that's on a journey, go ahead and he makes this provision for them. And I'll talk about that in a moment. And then, then in 15, you go through the whole thing. Actually, you know, honestly, if I was going to do this, I would actually finish chapter 9 at verse 14 and start chapter 10 at verse 15. But, you know, I didn't do it. So then it's a whole nother topic. And now he talks about this cloud. And the cloud was the presence of God that hovered over the tabernacle. And basically, the mention of the cloud here more so deals with the movements of the Israelites. And when the cloud moved, the Israelites moved. When the cloud stayed, the Israelites stayed. One thing that you have to keep in mind is in nomadic cultures, especially the wilderness, and if you recognize most people that are nomadic, they live in the wilderness in this time here. Now, interesting enough, most people that are nomadic, you mean they always move around all the time, guess what? They live in cities. So they hop from one city to the next city to the next city, like a lot of you guys here. And so it's very interesting how times have changed in this regard. But nomadic people, part of the thrill of being a nomad was the ability to move from place to place to place to place whenever they felt like it. Whenever the grass began to wither, whenever the water supply began to go down, or whenever at their own whim and they would chase the hunt or whatever it may be, they would just it was part of nomadic life, the ability to move from place to place quickly. And so that's why tents, and it was very easy setup and tear down for them, and something that they reveled and joined in. And so, but see, notice what God doesn't call them to be a nomadic people. God calls them to simply follow him. God calls them to look at the cloud, and when it's there, to remain. When it moves, to move. And I think that's a great, great picture for us. Who dictates your life? Who is it that brings movement into your life? Like when you decide to even move from one place, one country to the other, who's dictating that? When we're thinking about moving from one job to a different job, who's dictating that? Is it opportunity or is it the Spirit of the Lord? Is it this is the proper trajectory for my field of work or is it God? I think it's a huge thing. I heard a preacher say, you know, are you being led by the crowd or by the cloud? You know, that sounds like Eugene's. That's something Pastor Eugene would say, right? You know, but it's so true. Is it, are you being led by the cloud? Or are you being led by the crowd? Are you being led by what everyone else says that you should do? You know, how are you moving even from relationship to relationship, from workplace to workplace, from, apartment to apartment, or whatever it may be? Who is really dictating your movements? Are you or is the Lord? And in this time, man, the Israelites, all they could depend on was God. You know what I mean? God was feeding them supernaturally. God was providing water for them supernaturally. I mean, God, all kinds of different things were happening here. They were totally dependent on God. And you know what? So are we. So are we. It's unfortunate that we have deceived ourselves and feel like that we don't really need God. And when you dictate your own life, when you are in charge of your own life, when you move according to what you want to do and where you want to go and so on and so forth, guess what? You just became Lord of your own life. Even house church, right? I mean, you know, I talk to leaders once in a while. They're like, oh, yeah, this house church member, they want to move to another house church. And, you know, why? I mean, why would they want to do that? If not God leading them, you know, I might be able to find a spouse somewhere else. You know, it's a little more convenient for me. Wow, you just became Lord of your own life, you know, instead of God being Lord. I mean, did God speak to you about that? Usually not. You know, it's mostly, you know, as it returns to house church, it's mostly about convenience. Well, this night is just more convenient for me. Wow, I'm glad that that's all about you. Right? You know, to be perfectly honest, you know, really the times that we really grow and the times that we really, that God really comes and moves upon us are the times where it's very inconvenient. Look all through the scriptures. There's something about that, but we've deceived ourselves in really thinking that, man, this whole thing, house church, all this, is really all about me. And that's the major problem. Isn't that the major issue that we're dealing with? Is because we're so self-centered? Isn't the reality is that everything is about me? And so this is what's most convenient for me, that this is the people I like to hang out with, these are that. Man, look, the way that we ought to live our lives is be led by the cloud, is simply having the Holy Spirit dictate our every movement. Really. You know, can I be just really, really honest with you? You know, if I wanted to do what I wanted to do, I would never be here in Hong Kong. Honest to goodness, I would never be here in Hong Kong, right? I know this is going to sound really bad, okay? But this would not be my first choice, personally. I know this in my heart, but this was God's choice, and it was the best one, right? In my limited pea-brain mind, you know, this didn't seem like the right move. But that's because I have a limited pea-brain mind, right? And God is wiser, right? The Bible tells us even his foolishness is wiser than the wisdom of man. And so in that regard, you know, be led by his cloud. Be led by his movements, you know, and always knowing that, man, God, he's always going to have your back. Going back a little bit, let me finish off with these guys that come to him about the unclean. And then Moses goes before the Lord. And the Lord never forgets about his people. You know, the Lord will always make provision to come and not just make provision, but to always make sure, right, that people will be able to worship him. You know, regardless of, you know, how it looks or how it's gonna come out. I mean, it's the care of God to say, okay, yeah. You know, I mean, God makes a straight, fast rule. He does, right? Hey, man, you touch a dead body, you go out, you know? And even in that, God is so gracious. He always makes a provision for that. He always creates an opportunity. We may think, oh, it's lost, and God is so strict and all these things. He says, no, you know what? You can do it on the second month. It's just the graciousness of God. You know, I know this is a clear, fast rule, but it's okay. You can do it on the second month. And that's really grace, always giving opportunities for worship, always giving opportunities, you know, to go before the Lord. And if you really think about this, the real great opportunity in this whole thing was Jesus the Christ. Man has sinned. He's broken my law. The wages of that is death. So God makes a provision. So let me send my son. And he's going to pay the price. And so that people can worship God in that regard. So it's all part of that. You see how this framework just works, you know, in this whole thing. God made a law. People broke the law. God provides a provision, right, for which they can come before the Lord and worship. It's just the heart of God to move in that way. Let's just close our eyes. Let's think back to the cloud. Let's be really honest this morning. Who dictates your movements? Who dictates which job that you take or that you move to? Who dictates where you live? Where you go to house church? Even where you go to church? Is it you? Or is it really God? Are you being led by the cloud? Or are you leading yourself? Let's do a heart check this morning. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If the cloud is remaining, do you stay? Or do you get out of that covering of the cloud? There's protection in the cloud. This cloud was just not by day. It was also the pillar of fire by night. It keeps us warm. It brings light. It protects us from the harshness of the sun and the elements. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you.
I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me your own, and there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms. song to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done.
Continue to pray this morning. If you can honestly say your life is not really dictated by the Lord, well, let's go before Him. Let's offer Him up our lives again. Say, God, You're the boss, not me. You're in charge, not me. You lead me. I don't lead myself. Lord, You're my shepherd, God. I'm just Your sheep. And let's give control back to Jesus. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's pray over our community that are battling cancer. If I could just draw your attention to Michelle. This is Jian Chang. This is Michelle and Peter from Sha Tin House Church. And she's going in today and tomorrow she will have her surgery to remove her tumor. She has breast cancer and she just finished her rounds of chemotherapy. And so now it's time to actually remove the tumor. And so if you can pray for her. She's going in today, but the surgery is tomorrow. And let's really just go before the Lord and pray for a very, very successful operation and, you know, over the doctors and everything. I'm sure, you know, very nervous going in, I mean, always nervous going to the hospital. And so let's just cover her and her husband, Peter, particularly. We pray for everyone, but particularly keep them in mind, okay? And let's lift them up. Let's pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for spiritual and physical healing. Let's pray for our community that's battling other non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China today. Let's pray for SP Beijing and pray for Pastor Sam and his family and the other leaders and the congregation that would just continue to draw closer to God. Pray for Jesse and pray for the Chung family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark and the churches. And let's pray for Holy Spirit to just continue to breathe his life over China and our friends ministering there. Let's pray for the board. Let's pray for our leaders and ask God's hand to be with us as we lead our church. Let's pray for just amazing wisdom from God. Let's cover our hospitality ministries. Pray for a welcoming team and barista, and pray for more volunteers. Pray for our current leaders and volunteers that would just continue to blossom in this ministry and care for others. Let's lift up. Let's go to our member prayer focus. And this morning, let's pray for Reno. Let's pray for salvation over his family. Let's pray for a greater intimacy with God and that he would become a better steward of his time and blessings that God has given to him. Let's pray for Reno. Let's pray for Marion. Let's pray that she would hear God and experience him even more this year. Pray for wisdom in running the Learning Center. That'll be a light to the children and families in Tinshuai. And pray that her relatives, especially her grandma and friends, will come to know the Lord. And let's pray for Marion and her family. Let's pray for Kelvin. Let's pray for salvation for unsaved family members, particularly her mom and sisters. And pray for a smooth operation and healing for her wife's father who is undergoing leg surgery today. And pray for God's hand of protection and health for immediate family members. So let's lift up, and particularly let's lift up Louis's father that for his surgery. And let's pray. Lastly, let's just continue to pray for Christina. You know, since Sunday, since our prayer times on Sunday, there's been a marked improvement. And Kiwan tells us most likely they're going to move her down to the general ward today. And so let's praise God. Let's keep going after this and pray that the clot will continue to shrink. Her blood pressure went down, which means the tension in her brain has been lessened as well. And so let's just continue to pray for a complete healing right now. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for your love, God, and your willingness to lead us, God. Lord, you want us to walk in your steps, God. You want us to follow your path, God, because it's your path that leads us to righteousness and to truth. So help us, Lord, to remain when you remain, to go when you go, Lord. Lord, give us wisdom, God, to run hard after you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Watch over us. Watch over our friends, God, particularly our family members as well that are having surgery today and tomorrow. And just cover, God, members in our family that are ill and sick. We ask for that healing word to come. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.